Thank you. All right. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word,
God's Word
is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible, I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil
every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word,
God's Word
is the revelation,
is the revelation
of His will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I
claim it. In
Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Y'all, come on now. Y'all starting to lose it already on me. We gotta be happy. Say, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Declare it by faith, even if you don't feel it. Declare it by faith in the name of Jesus that you are happy, and that because you know what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
Matter of fact, there's a song. How many of y'all know, I'm blessed, and I know that I'm blessed because Jesus came into my life. I'm blessed, and I know that I'm blessed. Anybody know that song? No? Man, I got to teach y'all a lot of songs. Glory to God. Somebody give me a Liberian song then. All right, let me start a Liberian song. We serve a very big God, oh, He's always by my side. A very big God, oh, by my side. We have a very big God, oh, He's always by my side. A very big God, oh, we started this series of teachings on, does God engage in destructive behavior?
Amen.
Have y'all learned anything from this series so far?
Yes.
I know we've been going with it, I think, since the beginning of December, and we're not even halfway through it yet, really. But I'm hoping that y'all are keeping up and that you are understanding this, because what I'm teaching you is very important to soul winning. It's very important to your personal life. It's very important to your worship life. I don't know yet if you understand the practical value in what I'm trying to teach you. You see, because if you're going to represent God to the world, you have to represent Him correctly, praise God.
Amen.
You are, and we're going to be teaching on soul winning and witnessing after this series is over. But you are an ambassador for Christ, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that you are an ambassador. When you go to, an ambassador represents his country, his nation's leader, hallelujah. That's why every president gets to pick the ambassador that he or she wants, because that person is going to represent their values. He's going to, whether their values are good or bad, or whether you disagree, whether you agree or disagree with their political viewpoint, they appoint somebody that represents them. Hallelujah. And so God wants people that's going to represent him correctly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to, if you are an ambassador for our current president, and you go to another nation, and you're saying things about the president that ain't true, then what are you doing with that other nation? You're giving people the wrong information about them, about your president. Praise God.
Amen.
And if you're giving people in that other nation the wrong impression about your president, then they may not want to cooperate with the country that you are representing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you have to go into that nation as an ambassador and represent your nation well. When I was in the military, going back to my military days again, and I spent a lot of, the majority of my military duty was overseas. The majority of it was actually in Japan. I've been to Korea, I've been to Thailand, I've been to Philippines, I've been to Europe, I've been to a number of places, praise God.
Amen.
And the one thing I've learned about going to another nation is that the way I act is what people think about all Americans, praise God.
Amen.
And let's even go a little bit further. Me being black, being African-American, the way I act many times can reflect on all African-Americans, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
They can say, you know, if I act crazy and act like I'm from the ghetto, then, and I am, but I don't want to act like that, hallelujah. God took the ghetto out of me, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go around to other nations and start acting like, yo, what's up, man? What it is, what's the deal? What up, word to your mother? If I act like that, then everybody thinks that all black people act like that because they don't know any better. But if I act like a normal person who actually loves people, then people get a different impression about black people and about Americans as a whole. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to be representing God to the world, we need to have the correct information about him and not. And so much of the church has the wrong information. And that's why a lot of people don't want to worship God. That's why a lot of people don't want anything to do with God. The African slaves that came here, one of the ways that they were made to cooperate with their white slavers was to have Christianity enforced upon them. Amen. And it was made to sound like that it was God's will for you Africans to be under our slavery. And that was what the way they were taught. And so because, you know, in order, if you want to go to heaven, you want to know Jesus Christ, the white, and I'm talking about the white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus Christ that some of them represented. In order to get to know him, you need to submit to your slave master, which included the women being raped. Submit to it. Well, that's not the way, that was the wrong representation of Jesus, praise God. God does not want a man enslaving someone to another man. God came to set people free. But a lot of black men, even today, reject Jesus Christ because of that false misrepresentation, praise God. There's a lot of black men. And it's hard for me to reach them. It's hard for me to reach those African-American men because they have a hatred for Christianity because of the way Christianity has been represented to the black community. That's why, another thing, you see that there's more, in most churches, there's more women than men. Because too often, Jesus has been represented in a feminine type fashion. And most men, including me, don't want that feminine type of stuff. Praise God. It's all right for the ladies, but it ain't good for us. You know, us men, we're men. You know, God built us to be the way we are. We've been built to be hunters and protectors and fighters. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't understand Jesus, not just as sweet, loving, and kind, which he is, that's the tender part of him, but if we don't also represent him as the fighter, as tough, as strong, as kicking the devil's booty, then a lot of men don't want nothing to do with that. They don't want none of that sweet, kind stuff. They, you know, you got people that, man, why do you think they watch football on Sunday instead of coming to church? Because they see men out there running and tackling and whooping on each other. Praise God. You know, that you notice, I don't have y'all, you know, like a lot of churches where they have you stand up and everybody grab hands. I don't do that a lot. You know why I don't do that? Because most of the time, I know me. I feel uncomfortable holding some other guy's hand. Now, if I'm next to some ladies, that's all right. But, you know, and then the preacher who does that, he wants to pray and pray this long prayer. And all of a sudden, while I'm holding somebody's hand, some part of my body starts itching. It just seems like it's going to happen. but the thing is that holding somebody's hand for a long time is uncomfortable for a lot of men. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to represent Christ well if we want more men to come to the church. Amen.
Amen.
We have to represent Christ in a way that people can understand and see him and not be misrepresented. Why do you think many of the African Americans join the African American version of Islam? Because Islam, I'm going to tell you, I grew up around these guys. I grew up around the black Muslim community. And if there's anything about them, they don't play around. Amen. They just like any other gang in any other area, they will wax you in a minute. The only difference is that they got Allah on their side. But that's why a lot of men join these type of groups, because they represent their what men believe about, which is progress, which is toughness, which is you know, just not some feminine type of thing where you get. Basically, you got to represent God well. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It's very important. And so, if you're going to share the gospel with other people, they need to know the truth about God. They need to know that God is kind, he's loving, he's benevolent, he's not against you, he's for you. But they've also got to know all the other things that people have been misrepresenting God on. Amen.
Amen.
And so we learn some principles of Bible interpretation, because the Bible is the foundation for everything that we believe and teach about God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God gave us a very big record of what he is like. He told us in 66 whole books of the Bible. And the strange thing about that is a lot of people will tell you God is a mystery. I will never understand how you can say that God is a mystery when he's provided all this information. Do you know anybody else in the world who has 66 books written about them? Do you know anybody like that?
Nope.
No. Many people have maybe one, maybe two. Some people might even have three biographies or autobiographies written about them, depending on how famous they are and how, you know, different versions of or different understandings of their life. Like maybe like Abraham Lincoln, for example. He may have maybe 10, could be even 20 books written about him. I doubt he got 66 though. God has 66 books talking about him, about his ways, about his character, about what he likes, what he don't like, and yet people still going around saying God is mysterious. That is ridiculous. You know, how many of y'all have read anything at all about George Washington? Lift your hands up. Anything at all about George Washington? Heard anything about George Washington? What do y'all know about him?
First president.
Anybody know anything else about him? Anybody know anything about him chopping down a cherry tree or something like that? Anybody know how he died? Well, he died through a thing they call bloodletting. He was sick and he kept having them drain the blood, and they drained too much blood and he died. How many of y'all know that I don't find George Washington a mystery, because I know some things about him? And what I don't know about him, if I need to know more about George Washington, I go to a library and I look up books about him. Praise God.
Amen.
So why would I, if somebody came to me and said, you know, that George Washington, the first president of the United States, man, he's a mystery. Why? Well, I just, it's hard, it's too hard to understand him. You'll never be able to understand George Washington. That's ridiculous. All I gotta do is find some books about him. Yeah, but we can't always understand the written books on George Washington. That's what, this is the kind of thoughts that people have towards God. You just will never seem to understand God. You won't understand his ways. You won't understand his thoughts. And then they apply that to the evils that happen in life. Well, we don't know why that little 3-month-old baby was raped and murdered, but God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. That's the kind of garbage that's taught in our society. Well, I want you to understand that that's not the type of God that we have. And if we represent him to the world, then we are driving people away from God. How many of y'all have heard of Darwin, Charles Darwin? How many of y'all heard of him? Anybody know that name? Come on, some of y'all been to school now. Y'all been in college or college or whatever y'all went to. So especially you nurses, y'all ain't heard of Charles Darwin?
I heard his name, though.
How many of y'all have heard of the theory of evolution? Darwin, Charles Darwin. Darwin created the theory of evolution. And all of Darwin's intention was not to deny God. His theory of evolution basically had moved God out of the equation, praise God. And a lot of atheists appeal to the theory of evolution to deny that there's a God. What the theory of evolution is, it tells you that everything came into being with this big explosion. One day, there was nothing. And then a big explosion came. And then all of a sudden, it formed into the earth. And then there was little protoplasms and microcosms and stuff like that. And they later on, they developed into fish. And then fish became started coming out of the water. And they started beginning to have real legs and spines and stuff like that. And, you know, over millions of years, they became dinosaurs and men and all this other kind of stuff. So there was no need for God, for a God who creates, because all of this was formed through some big explosion. How many of y'all have ever seen an explosion happen? I've seen some explosions. I've never seen anything created from an explosion. Never.
It was destroyed.
It was destroyed, yeah. Well, my point is, the reason why Charles Darwin came up with this theory called evolution was because his daughter was sick. His daughter was sick, and he appealed to God, but he was told that it was God's will for his daughter to be sick, praise God. And then his daughter died. And so his daughter died, and he was told that God took his daughter. Well, Charles Darwin began to try to find out why is there evil in the world. And so through his research or meditation or whatever have you, he began to develop this theory of evolution. And he wondered, why is the animal kingdom, why is it that animals kill each other off? Why is there such cruelty within nature? Why does lions go around and eat on gazelles? And then that's where he began to say that because of the theory of evolution, it's the strongest will survive, praise God. And so I forget how you put it now, but something about being the fittest are the ones that will survive in the end. And so Nazism was developed, Hitler developed that based on the theory of evolution. That's why he began to create what he thought was a Superman. The Nazis were supposed to be supermen, superior men, and of course they were all white. And anybody listening to this, please, I'm not down on white people. I have a lot of white friends, praise God. I'm just trying to tell y'all what's been going on in our world. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. But all the atheism you see today with Dawkins and all these hyper atheists going on today, they all base their ideas on the theory of evolution. And where did evolution start? With Charles Darwin. And why did Charles Darwin start it? Because he was hurt by the fact that God made his child sick and then took his child. Praise God. Amen. And because of that, and what he saw about evil in the world, he decided he had to find an alternative way of understanding this evil, and it couldn't be the God of the Bible because he just seemed too cruel, too mean. Amen.
Amen.
Another famous television mogul. How many of y'all watch CNN? Mm-hmm. Y'all watching them liberal news stations. What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah, watch
them. Yeah, I don't know who to watch anymore. I can't stand Fox. I can't stand CNN. I can't stand MSNBC. I mean, they all get on my nerves. But I used to watch Fox, but I haven't really watched Fox, not on a regular basis in probably a year and a half, 2 years. But we watched one called American One News Now. But the thing is that CNN founder is Ted Turner, praise God. Mm-hmm. Now I watch the TCM Turner Classic movies because I like to watch old movies. They're a lot more cleaner than some of that sexually based junk that you find nowadays. But Ted Turner him and his sister were committed Christians, praise God. Mm-hmm. He prayed for his sister and she died, and he was told that God took her. So now Ted Turner cannot stand Christians. He can't stand Christianity. He hates y'all with intense hatred. Amen.
He's an atheist?
He's atheist, yeah.
I think he's gonna die on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he's not. You can't
come
on and say,
"Is I
scared to die?"
Nah,
Ronald Reagan's son.
Oh yeah, Michael Reagan. Yeah, he's an atheist too, and he says he's ready to go to hell.
He said he's not afraid of pointing him.
Yeah, I don't know how you can be not afraid of that, but yeah. So yeah, Michael Reagan. So all of this is based on people being given the wrong information about God. I sometimes engage in discussion with atheists on the internet and stuff like that, and they hate God. They claim he don't exist, but at the same time they hate him. You know, I always find that amazing. See, I can't hate Santa Claus, and I can't hate the Easter Bunny, and I can't hate the Tooth Fairy, because to me they don't exist, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't build up web pages and write books against the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. Because they don't exist, so why not? I need to concentrate on what does exist. Praise God.
Amen.
But the thing is that the reason why they hate God is because God has been misrepresented to them. Amen.
Amen.
Now you know who's behind this misinformation is Satan. Mm-hmm. You see, Satan is at war with God. And you've got to get that through your heads. A lot of the church teaches that Satan is nothing but another tool in God's toolbox. That God actually uses Satan. No, baby, listen to me. God and Satan are at war, and they are at war for your souls and for the souls of everybody in the world. Now, Satan, because he's not as powerful as God, he has some power. But he doesn't have nowhere near the power that God has. His best tool is misinformation, praise God.
Amen.
As long as Satan can deceive you, he got you.
Amen.
And he started in the Garden of Eden. What made Eve fall? Misinformation. The first thing he did was come to Eve and say, "Eve, is it true that you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, the Lord said that we can't eat it or touch it, lest we die." And Satan said, "Oh, you ain't going to die. Right, go on, right right against the words of God. He said, you know, God is stingy. You know what God is? He's holding back on you. God knows that if you eat from this tree, then you're going to become just like him. God is in competition with you. He's holding back from you, baby. Come on. Take that pear or whatever it was. Take that banana and eat it. And so the Bible says she saw the fruit and it was good for the eyes. And she gave some to her husband and he did eat. And then plunged the whole world into death and destruction. Mm-hmm. All what? How did he do it? Misinformation. Mm-hmm. He misrepresented God, gave the wrong idea about God, and made God look bad. Oh, glory to God. Mm-hmm. Now, God comes into the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden, and he says, Adam, where are you, man? Adam! And Adam knows he can't hide too long. So he says, Lord, I was naked and I hid myself. Adam becomes afraid of God. Adam was never afraid of God before. Before that, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Every day, they were hanging out. They were hanging. And now Adam's running away from God. You know why? Misinformation. You know what happens to many of us when we sin? If we don't understand the truth about God, instead of running back to God and saying, God, forgive me, I sinned against you, we'll run away from God because we're scared that he's going to strike us dead. Mm-hmm. We're scared that he's going to frown on us. Sometimes we think that God is like us. You know, how nasty we can be to our children sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
Parents, we need to learn to be more like Jesus. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're misrepresenting God to our children when we act the way we do sometimes. I'm guilty of that. I misrepresented God to my children when they were younger. I thought that I was supposed to do certain things a certain way. And sometimes I could be daggone mean to my kids. Now, that was rare because my kids would tell you, my wife would tell you, I probably spoiled them half the time. but sometimes when I could get upset, and when I was upset with them, I was mean. Amen. And that's not God. God's not, he doesn't change like the wind like we do. Now God gets angry, but he's not the kind that gets angry and ready to strike you with cancer and a lightning bolt. Praise God.
Amen.
God, he's a loving God. He wants to restore you, not destroy you.
Amen.
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 I was telling Mother Annie, I haven't made this announcement. Well, I ain't going to make it back right now. But I was telling Mother Annie that was one of my children, I'm just going to have to act like Jesus Christ towards them. Praise God. Because
mm-hmm.
the way they've acted, if I was going to act in the flesh, I could act nasty and mean. Because the person just disrespected the Father. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be like the prodigal father, the father, the prodigal son. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And not Troy's natural inclination on how he wants to act. Amen. So, and if you don't understand the truth about God, and if I didn't understand the truth about God, then I would act that way because I think that's the right way to act. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why Adam was so scared of God. He was so scared to come to God because of misinformation. Satan had told him that God is stingy, he's mean, he's holding back. And so the first idea Adam's got is, man, I blew it. Now God's going to kill me. He's scared. And so now, instead of repenting, he's trying to place the blame on God. Well, who told you were naked? God, that woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Now it's God and Eve's fault. Why? Misinformation. He's so scared now, he's got to find some way to blame somebody else for his dilemma. And he goes to Eve and Eve. What happened? The devil made me do it, that serpent. He lied to me, he deceived me. How can he deceive you? You had the truth, praise God.
Amen.
You had the right information about God. Too many times we get deceived because we have the wrong information about him. instead of listening to the right information over here, we listen to the wrong information over there. See, this is why God has given y'all a pastor. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is why, I know sometimes y'all say, well, I sure wish pastor wouldn't preach on the same thing for a long, long time. And so sometimes I listen to y'all. And I say, well, you know, they're getting bored, so maybe I need to move on to something else. And then I listen to you, to the way some of y'all talk, and you seem like you forgot everything I taught you in the past. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's right. It's right. And I'm not getting on your case because, listen, we all in the same boat, praise God. I've had to discipline myself to learn some things and to pay attention to my pastors in the past. But sometimes y'all forget stuff, and then I try to teach it to you again, and it's almost like it's new to you. So if I go on a series for a long time, it's because I got to keep digging this thing into you so you can stop being misinformed. Hallelujah. Amen. If you get enough of this teaching in you, then you will stop listening to Satan. Sometimes Satan will speak through others. He'll speak through other ministers, praise God. I've told y'all many times, y'all don't go to as many services as I do. If I didn't know this book, some of the stuff I hear that some of these preachers say, man, I'd be like, oh my God, God really like that? Man, after the revival last night, me and a couple of pastors, we sat down talking last night, and we were talking about some of the stuff we heard from other preachers when we were at service together. We were listening to this one preacher. And some of the stuff he said, and we were like, that's not even in the scripture, you know. And we were thinking about that. It's because a lot of preachers really don't know the word of God. I'm sorry to say that. It's a shame. And one of the things we were talking about is the fact that as pastors, we have to teach our people. Because, and these are guys who, at least one of them is usually a preacher, but he's really starting to move into teaching it. And without bragging, I'm one of the influences behind that. Praise God. He sees now that teaching is vitally important. And then we're just talking about the fact that we have to teach because our people, especially in the African-American community, are so ignorant. They don't know the word. Only thing they've been getting is a lot of candy lollipop type preaching to them. Getting them stirred up, getting them emotionally riveted. And it's okay at times. We need that. We all need that. I need that. Praise God. But if you don't feed me, then all you're giving me is junk food. Glory to God. Amen. With junk food, all I'm getting is diabetes and cancer. It may make me feel like I'm full. How many of y'all have eaten some cake and you felt full and didn't want to eat anything more? I have. But that doesn't care. How many of y'all know that cake doesn't have any nutritional value?
Yeah,
it's just sugar. Yeah. It has nothing nutritional about it. Matter of fact, it's anti-nutritional. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you not to have cake because I love cake, praise God.
Amen.
I'm just learning to eat lot less of it. Amen. Get this down. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we all need to be stirred up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But you can't have that every week, just like you can't have cake every day. Just like you can't have cookies every day and not eat your broccoli, not eat your peas and your corn. You can't do that. You need to be taught the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, I haven't even got to any part of the message yet. I don't even know how much time have I spent. Well, I doubt if I get to it today. So yeah, I guess the series is going to go even longer now. But we got a number of things going on this month, so we got some people that's going to be coming to minister to y'all. One of the things I always tell you is that I don't know everything, and so there's always, I bring in people, you know, and we got people here like Pastor Mary and Pastor Steve that will sometimes be bringing forth the word of God, and I'm bringing other people out from outside of this church to come in and help us to understand some things that I can't give you that I don't know. Amen.
Amen.
Who have some gifts that can be ministered to you that I don't have, praise God, because every Not one person in the body of Christ doesn't have everything. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we bring in people that can be a blessing to this local church and this local body and help it to grow spiritually as well as physically. But we got to be taught and we got to come to understand the truth about God. And that's why we, your pastor, me, I'm going to spend as much time as I can helping you to understand God. When you understand God, you will understand this book. Praise God.
Amen.
But if you don't understand the truth about God, then even this book will confuse you and mess you up. Because there's some stories in this book, I'm telling you, that if you don't understand some of the principles I'm teaching you, you'll be scared to read the book. You won't understand it. And the things you might understand, you will actually misunderstand. Praise God.
Amen.
Because you'll see God as a deceiver. You'll see him as a tempter. You'll see him as a liar. You'll see him as the inflictor of sickness and disease. You'll see him as arbitrarily just sending enemies against you when you make him mad. You'll see him as somebody who just sends all kinds of natural disasters to destroy your house. He sends tornadoes. A lot of that's the type of stuff that people teach even today. That's what you will believe about God if you don't understand the truth about him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this book, every jot, every word, every tittle is from God. But you've got to understand how to read this book. That is why God has given you apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's giving you a fivefold ministry. See, if it was all about you just taking the Bible and reading it on your own, then you wouldn't need me. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But you need me. You know why? Because many of us, we don't all understand yet. You know why I need other pastors and other ministers? Why I need to listen to them? Because I don't understand everything yet. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning. Why? You know why I have to listen to Pastor when Pastor Mary gets up here and the teacher preach? You know why I listen to her? Because I still don't understand everything. She may sometimes sit there and says, well, you know, it's hard for me to preach to somebody who knows the Bible. And I keep telling her, I don't know everything about the Bible. That's why you preach it. If I knew everything about the Bible, I wouldn't let her preach. Praise God. I just do all the preaching. Amen. If I knew everything about the Bible, Pastor Steve wouldn't preach. Praise God.
Amen.
The reason why they get to preach is because I don't know everything. Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes they say something, and I'm like, "Ooh, I never saw that before." Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And I wait a couple months when they've forgotten they preached on it, and I preach it.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen. That's how we all learn. We are learning because God has done it. He's done it this way to where we receive from other people. And that's how we come to understand him. God has decided that he's going to give revelation to this person in a particular area, and he's going to give revelation to another person in another area. And we have to, as a body, be dependent on one another. Glory to God.
Amen.
And you know, the wonderful thing about this is I'm so glad I don't know everything, because I would be bored if I did. The adventure of Christianity is learning new things about God all the time. The wonderful thing about heaven, y'all ain't going to be bored in heaven, believe me. Don't believe in movies where you sitting on a cloud with a harp and playing sweet, soft music, and you got little wings on your back and you're naked. Don't believe those movies, praise God. You are going to have adventures in heaven. You're going to have a great time in heaven. You're going to love and enjoy heaven. And one of the good things about heaven, if you love God, and if you love, enjoy learning new things and new revelations in heaven, you're going to be learning new things about God for millenniums on top of millenniums. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you should look forward to heaven. We almost done, but listen to me. It's important that you and I understand the truth about God. And in the opposite direction, it's also important that we understand the truth about our enemy. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, we shouldn't focus on Satan. We should, and you're right. There's an unhealthy focus on him. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
where if you're one of those demon hunters, and I've been around them, where everything is a demon, as soon as I yawn, ooh, that's a demon of yawning. Let's cast that out. Where demons are under every rock and every tree. If you're one of those kind of people, stay away from those type of people, praise God. Now, we believe in deliverance. We believe in casting out devils. We need to do a lot more than what we've been doing. Some of these people that's gone in these mental facilities, if we started walking in the power of God, there would be less people going there, praise God.
Amen.
And they wouldn't have to take all these drugs. We could cast out demons, because those are demons that's working through them, praise God.
Amen.
Some of our children who are straying, acting crazy, they need deliverance, praise God.
Amen.
We need to start walking in the power. But the thing is, we don't want an unhealthy focus on that. Y'all know, those of you who have been in this church long enough know we had somebody in here that was like that. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Who was so demon focused that God, you ever heard God come out of her mouth? Amen. But you have to have some focus on your enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it's your enemy. He's the one giving you all this misinformation about God in the first place. So if you don't recognize your enemy, you don't recognize who is the one behind all the problems you're dealing with, then you'll think it's God doing it to you in the first place, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people do. The ones who say, well, you know, Satan's nothing but a tool of God, so let's not even focus on him, are the ones who submit to every single thing that happens in their lives. When the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
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 So if we don't understand the truth about God, and we don't understand the truth about our enemy, then we will always walk in defeat in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will never make any real spiritual, and in a lot of cases, any career progress in our lives. Because every failure will be blamed on God. Well, perhaps it's not God's will that perhaps it's God's will that I did not get into that college. No, it's God's will. Sometimes things are holding you back. Praise God. You need to pray and find out what's the obstacle. Instead of accepting things as God's will, find out first. Praise God. You know, just like it wasn't God's will for me to go back to Japan, but I sought God before I finally submitted to that idea. Because I tell you, I confessed, possessed, claimed, and named until I was blue in the face trying to get back there. Glory to Jesus. I didn't want to stay in Rhode Island, but God told me he wanted me to stay here because of y'all. Amen.
Amen.
God, Jesus loves you. I do too.
Amen.
So this is why, and maybe this is why, maybe it's good that I didn't have my notes today, because maybe I needed to do this today to help y'all understand why we are doing these series of teachings. Why you need to understand God. Why you need to understand the truth about him. And see, you understand the truth about God, it will change your whole life and the way you do things. You'll want to serve him. You won't be so lukewarm, praise God. You won't, you know, there's too many people that come to church when they feel like it. Amen. There's too many of us that it's just not convenient for us. And I'm not picking on this church, praise God. I'm seeing it I go to a lot of churches. I know a lot of pastors. I'm close to a couple of pastors. I see it, even with the churches that have a lot of people. Many of their people are lukewarm. Some of these churches get a crowd on Sunday, but a lot of them during the week don't come. That's sad. You need more than just Sunday, praise God. You need more than just Sunday. You need, if true disciples would be, we would be studying every single night, breaking bread together, praise Jesus. It's not conducive to our environment right now, because we all live in so many different locations. I live way out in West Warwick, so most of y'all ain't gonna come to my house. and be honest, I get off work and I'm tired. I don't want to drive to y'all house either. Praise God. But if we were like the early church, they were successful because they met every evening, broke bread together, and studied the Word of God together. But we at least need, if we're going to strengthen ourselves in this church, we need to do it more than just once a week. Praise God.
Amen.
We need to have times of prayer. We need to have times of studying together. We need to get into God's word together and break bread together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we do things the way we're doing. That's why I want y'all to understand where your pastor's coming from. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet.
Had to be the cameraman.